In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this Thursday evening, watching some Braves baseball as they're up 5-1 now in the second inning. So they're cruising right along offensively, just mashing the baseball. So 404-726-0929. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app's how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He is at D.D. Lewis for real. This is your night look at all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. So the rankings for the wide receiver groups in the NFL have come out for Pro Football Focus. Where do you think, as a group, Day-Day, the Falcons wide receiver group ranks on this list? Obviously, 32 teams. Where do you think they come in at?
Honestly, they wide receiver group, I think they could be, I'd put them 12, 13, 14, somewhere in there.
24.
Really?
quote, it's a limited pass-catching group in Atlanta, but the two guys they lean on most, Kyle Pitts and Drake London, have the talent to make it a decent passing attack. London earned a team-high 85.3 receiving grade in 2022 with 866 yards. Pitts didn't have as many receiving yards as he did the previous season, but he was in an even bigger part of the offense, having been targeted 26.5% of the time on his routes. Throw in whatever Bijan Robinson will give them in the passing game, and they have some good players, albeit a shallow number of good players. And I, you know, again, I don't have a problem with the Falcons being at this level. You know, there's still some things to prove with Drake London. You know, the fumbles and some different things, you know. Obviously, Kyle Pitts has been, you know, it's not all his fault, but he's been very underwhelming in his first 2 years. Been very underwhelming what Kyle Pitts has done. I don't need him to be a two-touchdown guy anymore. I can have Michael Pruitt do that and not have spent the number four draft pick. I need Kyle Pitts to have that Travis Kelce kind of number. And so I think that's a fair representation of where the Falcons are at right now in their passing game, right? They're going to probably run it more than they throw it. So, you know, that's not the typical Matt Ryan era of things, you know, where Matt Ryan in his later years was throwing it 600 times, you know, a season. Obviously a lot different in his first couple of years with Michael Turner, but he evolved into a quarterback that would huck it around. So I don't think they're going to huck it around, and hence, you know, again, I said, look, we've talked about it on the show. I think that Drake London is probably going to have maybe less targets than what he did last year, not because they don't want to feature him or this, like, but again, you got to give more targets to Kyle Pitts and Jonnu Smith and Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier and on and on and on and on and on. You know, this is obviously, we're banking on the idea that everybody's going to be healthy this year. And I think just by the nature of it, while the pass attempts may go up, and that's why I asked the question, you know, the pass attempts may go up, but they're not going to get through the roof. You know, they're not going to be a 500-600 pass attempt type of team. That's Aaron and, you know, Pat Mahomes and those kinds of, I mean, that's those kinds of players. We're not quite yet to at that level to be Matt Ryan-esque the way we throw the football around. So I think it's a very fair grade on there. Any idea who you think the number one wide receiver core is? Any idea who you think's number one? Think AFC.
I was going to say I'm thinking either maybe Cincinnati, Buffalo, or Jets.
Yeah, how about the Bengals?
Yeah.
I mean, they're just, look, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. You know, but again, they have a quarterback that
can get
hucks it around. Yeah, he hucks it around. You know who's number two, believe it or not?
Not one of the other two that I said then, obviously.
Who was the other two you said?
I said the other two. I said Buffalo or Jets.
No, actually, Miami is third.
Really? Okay.
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek. Yeah.
They signed Tyreek Hill and all that. Second is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
With Devontae Smith, AJ Brown.
Yeah.
Where'd they end up at?
Super Bowl.
Huh?
Super Bowl.
Really?
Los Angeles.
Huh. Okay.
Was it Los Angeles this year? I can't remember.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was Los Angeles.
No.
That was the year before.
That was the Rams
that was
and
Vegas.
The Bengals.
Yeah, that was Vegas this year.
Yeah, Vegas.
Vegas, it was somewhere out there. Yeah.
Vegas. Coming in at number 11, not the sexiest group, but coming in at number 11, you know who that would be?
Kansas City?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where'd they finish?
Super Bowl.
Oh. Well, they just got there, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they just bought tickets.
Oh.
For their fans.
Yeah. They didn't win it or anything like that.
Nah.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Did you like the gradient jerseys for the Falcons?
I didn't like them, honestly, really, for none of the teams. They kind of really had like a college look to them. Not even, I mean, it was just a look that just wasn't like, ooh, I have to have that.
You know? I mean, I know they tried. I mean, they try all these gimmick uniforms and stuff like that. But 3 years after debuting the gradient jerseys, Arthur Smith confirmed that they are not going to be wearing those this particular year. So that jersey is going to be dumped just 3 years after unveiling it. They said for right now it may make a return, but it's not in any kind of plans for this particular season. So it won't be long before we'll get the uniform releases, right? And all that good stuff. And I don't know, you know, what like Thursday uniforms look like or whatever like that, but Falcons will pretty much have just a Sunday at 1 o'clock uniform on, right? That's what it'll be.
Yep.
It'll be red or white, and that'll just be their Sunday at 1 o'clock type of uniform with it. David Onyemata talking about this defensive line and how ferocious they can be. First, Arthur Smith talks about David Onyemata. Quote, he was a pain in the you-know-what to game plan against. That's a huge compliment. A lot of times when you study the history, a lot of mistakes get made with free agents sometimes. You're trying to gather information. You'll never be perfect, but you feel like you have a pretty good understanding, especially in our division. So he talked about the idea of, how good that this defense, you know, can be. And obviously, you know, how good this offense or defensive line can be, quote, a good organization, but then playing next to somebody, especially on the interior line, who's up near the top of the league, talking about Grady Jarrett, just being on a winning team, coming here and changing things around. So, look, he's one of the guys we're going to be relying on heavily, right? He's one of the guys that if you partner him up with Grady, let's see what this thing can be, whether it's Onyemata getting free or Grady getting free. And then Taquan Graham as well as another guy who, you know, obviously stepped up his game in year number two before the injuries got to him. So, look, I love the interior defensive personnel that we have. Grady, Onyemata, Taquan Graham. I like that group a lot. And that should be a very strong group that when we line those guys up, that they can, you know, that they can go after some offensive lines and blow plays up in the backfield and stuff. So I'm excited to see what happens with all of that. But, you know, look, time will tell. I still have my questions and concerns about what this pass rush is going to be. Are they better? Yes. Do they have more talent? Yes. How much better are they, though? How much improved are they on their defensive front and defensive line as far as getting to the quarterback? All right, Arthur Smith talking about Jalen Hawkins. And look, this is going to be an interesting season for Jalen Hawkins because I think he's still going to be a key contributor for this team. But obviously with the addition of Jesse Bates, you know, and you got Mike Hughes in and things like that, look, I don't know how exactly they're going to use him in this defense, but Arthur Smith said, quote, Hawkins could play in a lot of personnel groups. A lot of teams play a lot of 11 personnel, so you are seeing a lot of 5 DBs, 6 DB packages. And he went on to say, quote, that DB group, it's going to be a very competitive camp. They've done a very good job. I think Jalen Hawkins has had a terrific spring and what we've asked him to do. Micah Abernathy, there's a lot of depth, a lot of great competition. And there is. I mean, look, that's what we want, right? We want to see guys shake out. So whether it's Jalen Hawkins or Richie Grant or Jesse Bates. I mean, Bates is going to start, but, you know, again, it's either going to be Hawkins or Grant when all said and done. But A.J. Terrell, Jeff Okuda, Mike Hughes, you know, seeing what all of those guys can do. And again, the whole thing about this, and I keep going back to it, I keep circling back to it. The whole idea of this is that they've got Jerry Gray there now to coach them up. They've got Jerry Gray, who's obviously one of the better, you know, minds in football. You heard Steve Wyche when we had him on last week. First thing out of his mouth was stud. First thing out of his mouth was stud for Jerry Gray. That's what he is. And he was there in 2010 with the Legion of Boom when they had Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor as rookies, and he did a great job coaching us up. Did those guys end up being any good?
They were pretty good.
Oh. Well, they didn't win a Super Bowl, though, did
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they got one.
Oh, okay. Probably should have had two.
Definitely should have had two.
Yeah, definitely should have had
Russell two. Didn't have what it... Never mind, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that play call and yeah. Everything that went along with it just... Well, at least they didn't have the best running back in the NFL at the time. At least they didn't have the league's leading rusher or anything like that.
Yeah, so. No, none of that.
Yeah, didn't have any of that kind of stuff. But anyway, look, I'm excited. I really want to see what this young secondary, the young guys, the Grants and the Hawkins, what they really can do. You know, that's why I can't say I was surprised because we'd heard rumors for a while that they were going to sign Jesse Bates. But it kind of leaves somebody maybe as an odd man out. With Hawkins. Now, look, Hawkins has played some corner before. So he played some corner in college. So it's not like he couldn't play corner if he had to. But still, I thought Hawkins and Grant made a nice safety combination. I think that they made a good safety pairing. So let's see what Jalen Hawkins' role is going to be. Let's see what Richie Grant's role is going to be. There is going to be a lot of fierce competition, in the words of Arthur Smith. I think it's a really good competitive room, that the Falcons are going to trot out there this year, and hopefully we can, you know, get things stirred up. Hopefully we get some turnovers, get some things stirred up, and wreak some havoc on other types of offenses. All right, when we get back, Gabe Burns is going to join us. We'll talk some Braves baseball with him, little Falcons, little Hawks as well. Chuck Reed hanging out here in the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show live on this Thursday evening with you as Braves are back home now, starting a four-game set against the lowly Colorado Rockies against the another last-place team. So we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. We'll talk about all things Atlanta sports with our buddy Gabe Burns. He's the sports and feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work and follow him on his personal Twitter page. At Gabe Burns AJC. Gabe, my friend, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes as always.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You know, I've talked a lot about the month of June that, you know, with the Braves handling their business against the New York Mets, and we're starting to see that lead increase and increase and increase. And, you know, obviously the Braves do not have what should be a very difficult schedule for the month of June. You know, they say in golf that Saturday's moving day. I really believe this month is moving day for the Braves, that they could find themselves double-digit leads over both the Phillies and the Mets when this month is over.
I agree. Again, like, this team, look, it has its shortcomings. It's dealt with some injuries. Obviously, you lose your two top starters like that. It hurts, but just given the way this team has persisted through it, they do a really nice job against bad teams. I know they blew that game in Detroit the other night. They rebounded. You don't want to lose a series to the A's, but generally speaking, they do well against bad teams. And really the biggest thing is, I mean, we've yet to see the Mets get this thing figured out. They have not gotten rolling, and I still believe the Phillies are going to be heard from before this is over with. But it might be too late for them to be heard from as far as the NL East goes.
And you know, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, it's interesting because, you know, I wonder if they get, you know, far enough ahead, if there isn't a sense of, I don't know, I don't want to say urgency, but, you know, to try to make a move for a starter or maybe for a couple of relievers. I think that if they find themselves maybe 12 or 13 games up by the end of the month, I wonder if there's this pressing need or they can just kind of sit back, exhale a little bit, and, you know, just, I know, keep their foot on the gas pedal, but it doesn't feel like there has to be any sense of urgency if they can maintain a big lead.
Sure, and there's a balance of that, too, because you're going, look, we saw a team blow a double-digit lead in this division last year. Mm-hmm. So you don't know. I mean, it's certainly possible, and we know how Alex Anthopoulos thinks, and he's not going to, you know, feel that the division is locked up until it's actually locked up. But this team does need to think about the postseason too. When you get, because you, we, the reality is we don't know about Fried and Wright right now. The hope is that they'll be back and they'll be them, and this team will be ready to go. But we don't know that. And certainly, this team could use another starter. They need bullpen help. And when we look ahead to October, what does this team need to best position it to win a World Series? Because you look around the National League, there's nobody that I feel great, feel better than about winning this thing than the Braves right now, on paper and performance-wise. Certainly Arizona is having a breakout year, but you're not going to take them over the Braves. The Dodgers have had their issues. You go through the line. This team is in a great spot to make it back to the World Series. And, you know, regardless of if you're up one game in the division or 15 games in the division, you need to be thinking about what is that one guy who can make the difference for us come October.
You know, Gabe, it's funny because, you know, you look around the National League, the Marlins are a playoff team. The Pittsburgh Pirates lead their division. The Arizona Diamondbacks lead their division. I mean, we got some real. I mean, we got some real untraditional teams. That, to your point, I don't think that the Braves would really fear anybody. But it is kind of weird how so far the National League is playing out. That really the Braves have been just kind of the standout stalwart. Where there's been a lot of kind of first time up and comers leading baseball.
And it's fun. It's good for the game. It's refreshing. Certainly, you know, if you're a Braves fan, you're feeling good with where this team is, and you would love the idea of getting Arizona and Pittsburgh and the Marlins and teams like that into the NL playoff field. We'll see how much things hold. Again, the Giants have been playing a lot better. The Padres just have so much talent. We know the Dodgers are going to be in it. And we'll see if the Mets and Phillies wind up, either one of them wind up getting something going. But, yeah, I mean, there is this opportunity here for the Braves. They feel like they are just on paper when this team is healthy. They feel like they are by far the best team in the National League. That's how I look at it. And so if they can just get healthy and they can just add some reinforcements, I mean, we really could be looking at them playing deep in October again.
Gabe Burns, sports feature writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Well, one guy who's starting to get hot is Michael Harris, and we've been kind of waiting for this breakout, and, you know, we've seen it here lately. He's been good defensively. Obviously, he's stealing bases. You know, he's walking more and striking out less when you look at some of the underlying numbers, but now it feels like it's starting to come together and that batting average is starting to creep up.
And you know what, like, it's understandable why he got off to a slow start. And this is a guy too that obviously he was awesome last year. You need some, when you're a young player, you're going to go through it no matter how great you are. And he's figuring it out. And that's going to be all the difference. I mean, it's an astronomical difference. It's just like when we talked about Ozuna getting going and how different the lineup looks when he was playing well. And, I mean, it's the same thing for Harris. So, again, you just look at these guys. When this team clicks, and we don't know. We're sitting here talking about this in June. We know what happened last year. We know how well this team played. You get to the playoffs, there's a couple of weird things, you know, injury-wise. There's some weird stuff that happens. Next thing you know, you're bounced by the Phillies. We don't know what's going to play out, but all we can do is project. And when this team is rolling, when these guys are playing their best, I just don't think there's a better team in the league.
You know, one of the disappointments, obviously, was that, you know, Michael Soroka got sent back down. And, you know, he had a couple of starts, one pretty good, one kind of rough. You know, is it just a matter of they want to get him some more innings and get him some more work and, you know, just kind of find something, you know, right before they bring him back up here?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly it. And I think that the timing was weird. I think especially from the outside, you know, looking at that, you're going, really, after that? But it's been such a process for him, and the fact that he made it back up here and he did get a couple stars, like, that's, I mean, that's great. It remains to be seen, frankly, just how big of a contributor and how big of a help he can be this season. But I think everybody's rooting for him, and considering everything he's been through, and he's a great guy. But the reality is right now they just need him down there, just continuing to pile up innings, continuing to kind of get his feet back under him, and, you know, maybe he can impact the club sometime in the second half.
Gabe, let's bounce around a little bit here. Hawks NBA draft coming up a week from tonight. You know, I'm not so much worried about what the Hawks do as far as drafting a player. I think whoever they draft is going to end up in College Park when all is said and done. But, you know, we're starting to kind of get, you know, little feelers and rumors and different things like that. And certainly Trae Young has had some interesting comments where, you know, he talked about being next to win the NBA title. He talked about his relationship with, you know, Nate McMillan. It is interesting just even kind of getting into this offseason, some of the comments that are being made from Trae Young and some of these other players.
Yeah, it's going to once again be another fascinating offseason. Like, I get what you're saying. I mean, I'm fascinated, too, by the draft. I am interested in the draft, just the way everything's going to unfold. There was that rumor today about maybe trading up with the Mavericks, which is always interesting because, again, the John Collins trade talk is just – it's every offseason we have to just – every trade deadline, we just have to sit here and spend a few minutes on it. So that's interesting. I really like Cason Wallace from Kentucky. I think he would be a nice fit if we're just looking at how they could spend – number 15, but yeah, like we've already seen the DeJounte, like, oh, would they be willing to move DeJounte? So there's a lot of talk. We know that a bunch of it is nonsense, but it's going to be really interesting. And this team, there's just so many different ways you could go. And obviously there's a lot of salary on this team. Somebody had reported that there was some DeAndre Hunter trade talk at the deadline as well. So there's just a lot of different directions you can go. And I don't really think even predicting anything right now, is a safe thing to do, except for, like, I think I said it on here last time, I do feel like John Collins finally gets moved because, again, it's a numbers game. You look at the money, you look at where this team is trying to figure this out, and I just think it makes the most sense to move him finally at this point.
Well, and Gabe, I'll say it like this. I think the entire offseason comes down to, and this may be very simplistic, this comes down to whether or not Tony Ressler wants to get into the luxury tax or not. Because if he's going to keep playing this Lombada of staying under the luxury tax, we're not going to get better. And right now we're $9 million into the luxury tax, and I don't know how you get better when you start trading away your pieces to try to get cheaper. And, you know, again, the underrated thing that they did, I guess, for them was that they saved money at the trade deadline. For all the picks and pieces that they brought in, they saved money at the trade deadline. So I don't know. For me, this comes down to whether we're going to be in the luxury tax and really compete, or if it's just going to be we're not going to get in that threshold. I don't know really what we're going to be at the end of the day.
You know, I really do believe, I mean, you simply have to be committed. And this is going to sound like an obvious thing. You just have to be committed to the point that you're going pretty far into the tax to sustain a winner, to be a championship caliber team, because the reality is, look at the history of the NBA. Even when you have these younger max guys, you have a guy like Trae. I mean, most of these guys don't win until their late 20s anyway. And by then, their salaries are obviously – they're not on a rookie deal at that point. And in order to sustain a championship-level team, you're going to have to spend. I mean, to even use a cross-sport comparison, like, you see everyone talks about the Angels all the time and are they going to keep Ohtani and everything, but they've been scared of the luxury tax there. And when you're spending – so much money on a Trout and on a Rendon, and then you're on it if you wind up extending Ohtani or whatever. When you're spending that much money, you have to go deep into the tax to just build a team. And I think the same thing could be said about the NBA. And, you know, if they're going to re-sign DeJounte, or if they're going to trade him and wind up with a player they're going to have to pay, I mean, the reality is you're just going to have to go deeper into the tax because right now this team is just not good enough. And I would argue that they're not even close to being good enough, although the East is weird right now, so I guess you'd really never know. They've got a ways to go, and, I mean, you're right. The bottom line is they're just going to have to spend money.
Let's flip over to the Falcons. They wrap up mandatory minicamp today. I've read a lot of things about the idea of the competition between Tyler Allgeier and Bijan Robinson, but I brought this up on my show a couple of weeks ago. I don't see why there couldn't be a scenario where both of those guys end up with 1,000 yards. If you look at Tyler Allgeier, he only started 7 games and had 210 carries and 1,000 yards. Bijan Robinson could do the same thing, whether you flip those roles or something like that. I think there's a definite possibility that Arthur Smith, instead of having a Derrick Henry in his backfield, he may look at this as a two-headed monster and still feed the rock to these guys.
I agree. I mean, that makes a ton of sense to me. And if that's the case, this team, they're going to put up points. And I think they are going to put up points. So, look, I mean, you've got a nice mix here. You've got Bijan where he's going to play a lot of snaps, split out. He's going to get a lot of catches. So when we talk about yards from scrimmage, I'm expecting you know, huge numbers. A lot of, like, I don't play fantasy football. I know a lot of people do. He's going to be a really popular guy. And Tyler, he's a guy, he's going to rip through guys. He's going to make the most out of every carry. So, yeah, I mean, absolutely, given the way that this offense wants to play, I could totally envision that.
Last question for you. You know, there's been a lot of rumors about, you know, Danielle Hunter being available in a possible trade, who's, I think, got the most sacks before 25 years old. But, you know, I look at this roster and I still have questions about the pass rush. We're banking on a lot of things. Okay, Ebba Cady breaks out. Caden Ellis can repeat his year from last year. Onyemata and Grady can be enough of a force inside. Like, we're banking on a lot of hopes and wishes and prayers and maybe some unknown things. I still wonder whether or not they've done enough to have that fire breather coming off the edge and try to increase this sack total.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I was actually just talking with Jeff Schultz of The Athletic about that, and I expressed the same concern because the numbers are a lot better. The actual players who you can comfortably put out there who are going to be relatively productive. You've got experience, but you still lack – we're not positive that this pass rush is going to be significantly improved.
Right.
And you would like to have a guy like a Hunter, somebody that really alters the game. And you have Grady Jarrett inside. I understand that. But it does feel like, you know, there's a committee of quality players, but – how, like, are any of these guys really going to be the guy? I don't know. It's better than it was. Certainly numbers-wise, depth-wise, experience-wise, it's better than it was. But, yeah, like, I can't confidently – it's one of my biggest concerns for this team still. And it might wind up that Ryan Nielsen is great at scheming pressure, too, and this by committee, it winds up working out. But right now, I mean, that's among my bigger concerns for this team because, again, I like the numbers. It's better, but I still don't know if it's real. I don't know if it's going to be anywhere close to where you want it to be.
Yeah, I think we need a fire breather out there. But again, we'll see what unfolds. You can check him out on his personal Twitter page at Gabe Burns AJC, sports and feature writer for the Atlanta Journal Constitution. AJC.com is where you can check out all of his work. And he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Gabe, as always, my friend, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for a few minutes tonight, and we will chat again soon.
Sounds good.
You got it. John Chuckery. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show. Hey, Thursday, June 15th is Customer Appreciation Day. We're celebrating our loyal fans with an epic deal on our famous wings. Just buy six and get six more for free. Valid in-store or bone-in, naked style, with the purchase of a Peaks Signature 22-ounce draft soda or tea. Ask your Twin Peaks girl how to score yours. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. We're watching the Atlanta Braves right now as they are leading 6-2, as they should, right? I mean, this should be a blowout game and blowout series for the Atlanta Braves. So they're up 6-2 right now. A.J. Smith-Shawver, he's allowed his first two earned runs of his major league career. So he's got 4 2/3 of 4-hit ball, 2 earned runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts, and 2 homers given up. Boy, Braves are allowing a lot of homers here of late. And believe it or not, the Braves have not homered in this game. Ozzie's already 3-for-3 in this game. 3-for-3. And Ronnie's 0-for-1 with a run scored and a run driven in. He's walked in the game. The Braves are only 2-for-6 with runners in scoring position. But, look, Ozzie paying huge dividends already. He's got he's 3-for-3 with 3 RBI tonight. So big-time numbers. And, again, Arcia has walked twice, scored twice. Michael Harris, he is 1-for-2
with a strikeout in it. So, again, the bottom of your order leading into Ronnie and Ozzie at the top getting some things done. But Diaz and Tovar have both homered off of a A.J. Smith-Sharver. But still, the Braves lead this thing 6-2 as we are already in the top of the fifth inning. So halfway done here at the old ballpark. So hopefully the Braves get themselves a victory. And let's see if Sharver can wiggle his way out. I mean, certainly at least pitch through five innings to be able to pick up the victory. But again, a couple of guys on. I believe it's boy, I don't know if that's safe or out at second base, but we'll see what the replay says. But so far, so good. I mean, you know, listen, this is not a very good Rockies team, obviously. They're a last place team. They have only won 29 games on the season. The Braves, you know, have more road wins than the Rockies do by a pretty good amount. Rockies are 13-22 on the road this year. Braves are only 20-15 at home. That's a little bit surprising, but obviously they've been really, really good on the road. They've been outstanding on the road this year. So just the idea of how good they've been, you know, right now, good news at the ballpark. So let's hope the Braves get a victory here tonight. And Sharver can at least pick up his first win in a Major League uniform. So we'll see what happens with all of this. So we'll keep you up to date all night long about what's going on. Speaking of what's going on, let's do a What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So Commissioner Rob Manfred says he feels sorry for the Oakland A's fans. Commenting about the situation, quote, "I feel sorry for the fans in Oakland. I do not like this outcome. I understand why they feel the way they do. I think the real question is, what is it that Oakland was prepared to do? There is no Oakland offer. They never got to the point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site. It's not just John Fisher, who's the lead owner of the A's. The community has to provide support. And at some point, you come to the realization that it's just not going to happen." Huh? No, what the Oakland A's wanted is a taxpayer-funded stadium for a city that's poor. Now, I like this. The Oakland mayor's office pushed back against Manfred's characterization. Quote, "There was a very concrete proposal under discussion, and Oakland had gone above and beyond to clear hurdles, including securing funding for the infrastructure and providing an environmental review and working with other agencies to finalize proposals. The reality is the A's ownership insisted on a multi-billion dollar 55-acre project that included a ballpark, residential, commercial and retail space. In Las Vegas, for whatever reason, they seem satisfied with a nine acre leased ballpark on leased land. If they had proposed a similar project in Oakland, we feel confident a new ballpark would already be under construction." Hear, hear. You know, again, these guys want. And then when they're backed into a corner and they got to go somewhere else to get what they want, they'll gladly leave. They didn't think twice about moving the Oakland A's out of Oakland. One of the, again, we've talked about this, Day-Day, one of the most historic franchises in American League history.
Yep.
Now, I know they're not the Yankees, they're not the Red Sox, but you look at what Oakland has done in the history of their franchise from the 70s, 80s, 90s, all the way up until, you know, again, about a decade or so ago.
And the name of players that have been on that, yeah, on that franchise.
Reggie Jackson, Raleigh Fingers, Vida Blue, Jason Giambi, Miguel Tejada, Ricky Henderson. You know, again, they've had great, you know, Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire, you know, Dave Stewart. It's been great player after great player after great player. They deserve baseball in Oakland. They've been very loyal to that team, even when they weren't so good. Because, you know, they did that whole Moneyball thing when they weren't very good. Look, now Manfred is now, and then after all of this study came out, so they say the plan in Nevada reignite the debate over public funding for private sports clubs, with representatives for the A's and Nevada Tourism stating that the new stadium could add to the growing Las Vegas sports scene, which features Stanley Cup champion the Golden Knights and the NFL's Raiders, who also moved from Oakland ahead of the 2020 season. Several academic articles, including a 2015 study from Stanford economist Roger Noll, came to the conclusion that professional sports stadiums do not generate local growth as advertised. According to one study published by the Journal of Economic Surveys in 2022, overall employment tends to not grow in the stadium's communities and areas with sports teams and stadiums teams and stadiums are not associated with greater income growth or business activity. Now, of course, Rob Manfred pushed back against this. Quote, I love academics. They're great. Take the areas where baseball stadiums have been built. Okay, look at what was around Truist Park before that was built. Hold up. Hold up. Look at the area around Nationals Park. Hold up. Wait a second. He's talking about Truist Park. Are the Braves in the same place now that they were a few years ago? Day-Day, are the Braves in the same place where they are a few years ago?
A few years meaning like...
Like 5-6 years ago?
No.
Really? Well, where'd they go?
They're in Cobb County.
Oh! So they had to relocate entire stadium and build a facility in an area where they could accommodate everything.
Yeah.
Oh. But again, it's they're in the same thing, though, as Mercedes-Benz and the Georgia Dome. They're right across the street from one another, right?
Not at all.
What?
No.
Wait a second. They're not?
No. It's about 12 miles.
Oh. Look at the area around Nationals Park before that was built. Wait a second. When was the last time baseball was played in D.C.? The Washington Senators, they moved twice before they played in Nationals Park now. Twice the Senators have moved. They've become the Texas Rangers one time, and they became the Minnesota Vikings one time. They've moved twice. This is the third iteration of Washington Senators baseball. And they just developed all of that Nationals Park. Why? Because they had to build something. What, are they going to play in a sandlot field?
Right. And I've been to that area. I don't really recall it being a whole lot around that area.
Right.
To be honest with you.
How vibrant is D.C. because of Nationals baseball?
Yeah. I mean, there's living, but as far as, like, jobs and things of that nature, like, you know, I don't really remember it being that much. But, again, that was, you know, 5-6 years ago.
And by the way, when the Braves moved out to Truist Park area and all that,
mm-hmm.
they didn't get any funding for that or anything, did they? They fleeced the taxpayers of Cobb County?
Yeah, they got some money.
For $300 million?
They got some
money. And then they wanted additional kickbacks to build more stuff out there when Cobb County told them, wait a second, we're at our limit now, folks.
Right.
We're at our limit to build anything more here. What a goof. What an absolute twit or whatever he is. What a goofball. And look, they wanted in Oakland the public to fund their stadium.
Yeah, they wanted it all funded
right.
by the public. That was the
right.
issue.
That they wanted public funding for their stadium. Even though their owners were $6 billion, they wanted the city of Oakland to pay. That was always the contention with the Oakland A's in their city. They wanted the city of Oakland to pay for their stadium. Now, again, they've been playing in the Oakland Alameda Coliseum, right? I think that's owned by the city, right? And it's a dump of a ballpark. Everybody that's ever been out there says it's a dump. A D-U-M-P-P-U. But they wanted all of it to be built with taxpayer-funded money. And their political office said, wait a second, we ain't got no money to build no stadium. We want to keep you here in Oakland. Let's find it. Let's find an equitable solution. Because, you know, you are a guy who's worth $6 billion. And again, Rob Manfred with his head buried in the sand. Just completely buried his head in the sand. So, talking about how the Oakland A's and the...
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show. Hey, Thursday, June 15th is Customer Appreciation Day. We're celebrating our loyal fans with an epic deal on our famous wings. Just buy 6 and get 6 more for free. Valid in-store or bone-in, naked style, with the purchase of a Peaks Signature 22-ounce draft soda or tea. Ask your Twin Peaks girl how to score yours. 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. We're watching the Atlanta Braves right now as they are leading 6-2, as they should, right? I mean, this should be a blowout game and blowout series for the Atlanta Braves. So they're up 6-2 right now. A.J. Smith-Shawver, he's allowed his first 2 earned runs of his major league career. So he's got 4 2/3 of 4-hit ball, 2 earned runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts, and 2 homers given up. Boy, Braves are allowing a lot of homers here of late. And believe it or not, the Braves have not homered in this game. Ozzie's already 3-for-3 in this game. 3-for-3. And Ronnie's 0-for-1 with a run scored and a run driven in. He's walked in the game. The Braves are only 2-for-6 with runners in scoring position. But, look, Ozzie paying huge dividends already. He's got He's 3-for-3 with 3 RBI tonight. So big-time numbers. And again, Arcia has walked twice, scored twice. Michael Harris, he is 1-for-2 with a strikeout in it. So, again, the bottom of your order leading into Ronnie and Ozzy at the top getting some things done. But Diaz and Tovar have both homered off of an A.J. Smith-Sharver. But still, the Braves lead this thing 6-2 as we are already in the top of the fifth inning. So halfway done here at the old ballpark. So hopefully the Braves get themselves a victory. And let's see if Sharver can wiggle his way out. I mean, certainly at least pitch through 5 innings to be able to pick up the victory. But again, a couple of guys on. I believe it's I don't know if that's safe or out at second base, but we'll see what the replay says. But so far, so good. I mean, you know, listen, this is not a very good Rockies team, obviously. They're a last place team. They have only won 29 games on the season. The Braves, you know, have more road wins than the Rockies do by a pretty good amount. Rockies are 13-22 on the road this year. Braves are only 20-15 at home. That's a little bit surprising, but obviously they've been really, really good on the road. They've been outstanding on the road this year. So just the idea of how good they've been, you know, right now, good news of the ballpark. So let's hope the Braves get a victory here tonight. And Sharver can at least pick up his first win in a Major League uniform. So we'll see what happens with all of this. So we'll keep you up to date all night long about what's going on. Speaking of what's going on, let's do a What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So Commissioner Rob Manfred says he feels sorry for the Oakland A's fans, commenting about the situation. Quote, "I feel sorry for the fans in Oakland. I do not like this outcome. I understand why they feel the way they do. I think the real question is, what is it that Oakland was prepared to do? There is no Oakland offer. They never got to the point where they had a plan to build a stadium at any site. It's not just John Fisher, who's the lead owner of the A's. The community has to provide support. And at some point, you come to the realization that it's just not going to happen." Huh? No, what the Oakland A's wanted is a taxpayer-funded stadium for a city that's poor. Now, I like this. The Oakland mayor's office pushed back against Manfred's characterization. Quote, "There was a very concrete proposal under discussion, and Oakland had gone above and beyond to clear hurdles, including securing funding for the infrastructure and providing an environmental review and working with other agencies to finalize proposals. The reality is the A's ownership insisted on a multi-billion dollar 55-acre project that included a ballpark, residential, commercial, and retail space. In Las Vegas, for whatever reason, they seem satisfied with a nine-acre leased ballpark on leased land. If they had proposed a similar project in Oakland, we feel confident a new ballpark would already be under construction." Hear, hear. You know, again, these guys want. And then when they're backed into a corner and they got to go somewhere else to get what they want, they'll gladly leave. They didn't think twice about moving the Oakland A's out of Oakland. Again, we've talked about this, Day-Day, one of the most historic franchises in American League history.
Yep.
Now, I know they're not the Yankees, they're not the Red Sox, but you look at what Oakland has done in the history of their franchise from the 70s, 80s, 90s, all the way up until, you know, again, about a decade or so ago.
And the name of players that have been on that on that franchise.
Reggie Jackson, Raleigh Fingers, Vida Blue, Jason Giambi, Miguel Tejada, Ricky Henderson. You know, again, they've had great, you know, Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire, you know, Dave Stewart. been great player after great player after great player. They deserve baseball in Oakland. They've been very loyal to that team, even when they weren't so good. Because, you know, they did that whole Moneyball thing when they weren't very good. Look, now Manfred is now, and then after all of this study came out, so they say the plan in Nevada reignite the debate over public funding for private sports clubs, with representatives for the A's and Nevada Tourism stating that the new stadium could add to the growing Las Vegas sports scene, which features Stanley Cup champion the Golden Knights and the NFL's Raiders, who also moved from Oakland ahead of the 2020 season. Several academic articles, including a 2015 study from Stanford economist Roger Noll, came to the conclusion that professional sports stadiums do not generate local growth as advertised. According to one study published by the Journal of Economic Surveys in 2022, overall employment tends to not grow in the stadium's communities and areas with sports teams and stadiums teams and stadiums are not associated with greater income growth or business activity. Now, of course, Rob Manfred pushed back against this. Quote, I love academics. They're great. Take the areas where baseball stadiums have been built. Okay, look at what was around Truist Park before that was built. Hold up. Hold up. Look at the area around Nationals Park. Hold up. Wait a second. Wait a second. Wait a second. He's talking about Truist Park? Are the Braves in the same place now that they were a few years ago? Day-Day, are the Braves in the same place where they are a few years ago?
A few years meaning like...
Like 5-6 years ago?
No.
Really? Well, where'd they go?
They're in Cobb County.
Oh! So they had to relocate entire stadium and build a facility in an area where they could accommodate everything.
Yeah.
Oh. But again, it's they're in the same thing, though, as Mercedes-Benz and the Georgia Dome. They're right across the street from one another, right?
Not at all.
What?
No.
Wait a second. They're not?
No. It's about 12 miles.
Oh. Look at the area around Nationals Park before that was built. Wait a second. When was the last time baseball was played in D.C.? The Washington Senators, they moved twice before they played in Nationals Park now. Twice the Senators have moved. They've become the Texas Rangers one time, and they became the Minnesota Vikings one time. They've moved twice. This is the third iteration of Washington Senators baseball. And they just developed all of that Nationals Park. Why? Because they had to build something. What, are they going to play in a sandlot field?
Right. And I've been to that area. I don't really recall it being a whole lot around that area.
Right.
To be honest with you.
How vibrant is D.C. because of Nationals baseball?
Yeah. I mean, there's living, but as far as, like, jobs and things of that nature, like, you know, I don't really remember it being that much. But, again, that was, you know, 5-6 years ago.
And by the way, when the Braves moved out to Truist Park area and all that, they didn't get any funding for that or anything, did they? They fleeced the taxpayers of Cobb County?
Yeah, they got some money.
For $300 million?
They got some money.
And then they wanted additional kickbacks to build more stuff out there when Cobb County told them, wait a second, we're at our limit now, folks.
Right.
We're at our limit to build anything more here. What a goof. What an absolute twat. Or twat or twit or whatever he is. What a goofball. And look, they wanted in Oakland the public to fund their stadium.
Yeah, they wanted it all funded
right.
by the public. That was the
right.
issue.
That they wanted public funding for their stadium. Even though their owners were $6 billion, they wanted the city of Oakland to pay. That was always the contention with the Oakland A's in their city. They wanted the Oakland city of Oakland to pay for their stadium. Now, again, they've been playing in the Oakland Alameda Coliseum, right? I think that's owned by the city, right? And it's a dump of a ballpark. Everybody that's ever been out there says it's a dump. A D-U-M-P-P-U. But they wanted all of it to be built with taxpayer-funded money. And their political office said, wait a second, we ain't got no money to build no stadium. We want to keep you here in Oakland. Let's find it. Let's find an equitable solution. Because, you know, you are a guy who's worth $6 billion. And again, Rob Manfred with his head buried in the sand. Just completely buried his head in the sand. So, talking about how the Oakland A's and the ballpark that they're in right now, and relocating to Vegas with the team's poor attendance and condition of the ballpark. Quote, the ballpark's not in good shape. The ballpark is not a major league facility. I've said it repeatedly. Well, yeah. Because, again, they can fix it.
Yeah. I think they were always in the mindset of moving.
Of course.
And that was the whole reason of saying, well, we want y'all to pay for it. Because they knew they wouldn't pay for it.
Right.
Therefore, they would say, well, then we're going to move.
Right. Again, I give the people of St. Petersburg credit. Because when the Tampa Bay Rays signed that lease, they held them accountable.
Yeah.
Because they've tried to move and go somewhere else. And they're like, wait a second. You're going to pay this money to you signed this long-term deal to stay at Tropicana Field.
Right.
You're going to pay all this money. This is ironclad, son. Mm-hmm. You're going to pay every dime of this money. If you leave, you're going to fund all of this for us. And they're like, oh, well, maybe Tampa isn't so bad. Maybe the Tampa right. St. Pete area isn't so bad. And while that's not a great ballpark by any stretch of the imagination, I mean, from everything I've heard, I've not been to Tropicana Field.
No, I haven't been to it.
But still, again, they held the Rays accountable and said, you're not just going to up and leave and relocate. Remember, they were going to go to Montreal again.
Yeah.
And they were going to split time between Montreal and Tampa and that fakakta plan.
Yep.
And they said, no, you're going to pay. You sign this lease. You're going to pay on it. We're not going to let you out of it. I swear, these guys act like they're just these poor, wretched souls that are billionaires. Now, look. Again, a billionaire didn't become a billionaire by giving away his money, right? That's not how they... But again, you know what? I have the perfect solution. Sell the A's.
Right.
Make the ownership sell the A's. Say, wait a second. You don't want to work with the city? You need to sell the A's. We're not going to lose a team in Oakland. You know, again, it was a complete... I lived through the Browns moving, one of the most storied franchises in AFC history, when they moved. That town was ripped apart, all because Art Modell didn't get his way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't want to get involved in Gateway and build a multi-use facility for the Browns and the Indians. Mm-hmm. That was the proposed deal, was Gateway. They were going to have a baseball, football stadium that would accommodate both organizations, right? Because, again, Cleveland Municipal was the Browns and the Indians that played. He wanted his own stadium. He wanted his own luxury boxes. He wanted to own it himself, even though he didn't have any money. But he wanted to own it all. And he wouldn't work with the Indians on it. And they said, okay, you know, again, we're going to play hardball with you. And he said, well, I'm just going to go to Baltimore.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah, in the middle of the night and rip that city apart.
Yeah.
You think these owners give a damn about loyalty to their towns and stuff like that? They see the bottom line and the money that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
I've always, listen, my dad is always conspiracy theory. Art Modell, and we'll make this real quick, Art Modell deserves to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, okay? He was one of the big driving factors in Monday Night Football. He was one of the big driving factors in TV for the NFL. Like, he is very influential behind the scenes. For all the dumb stuff that he did and all this, that, and the other, he's been very influential in his career when he was alive in getting TV deals and work with the NFL and Monday Night Football, right? Like, he's had a big hand in all of that, okay?
Right.
But my dad has always conspiracy theory. If you put Art Modell to be in the Hall of Fame ceremony, he'd have to stand in front of a crowd in Canton, Ohio. And that's 50 minutes yeah. away from the city of Cleveland. And nobody would have, because again, they wouldn't have just thrown vegetables at Art Modell. I'm telling you, those people are crazy enough, Day-Day, that somebody would have taken a shot at Art Modell. Somebody would have pulled a gun and taken a shot at Art Modell. And I firmly believe what my dad said on that, because he was hated. And if he'd have shown up in Canton, Ohio, to accept an honor to go in the Hall of Fame, somebody would have pulled a .357 out and said, pa-pow!
Yeah.
And put one in his chest. That's how crazy those people were up there for that. All right, more to come. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios. Sports Radio, not to the game, Odyssey.com app.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.